a little stalk.
Basol, take one.
It's a big old fat motherfucker called
Blizzing Buzzard Buttocks.
Big Rigger and Spatchin Spatial.
Under my feet.
Look, the biggest heavy band of all time.
I wouldn't ask you to do a drum roll if your arm fell off.
There was an incident with the pyrotechnics.
And Kirk!
Squillions of dollars and squillions of people.
How the fuck are you, Lars?
Piddly wants and wills and needs.
Lars Ulrich, drums and bongs.
What the fuck does that mean anyway?
I hate that fucking camera, man.
Well, since we started.
I'm talking about like a fucking live gig. You see this for, right?
What really gets my dick hard.
Mommy, where's Fluffy?
This is Mick Rock, also known as the voice on Enter Sandman. You're listening to And Podcast for All.
Welcome back to And Podcast for All. I'm Shane Obershaw.
And I'm Jeff Winslow.
Jeff, it's time to play Name That Lyric. We're 8 seconds in. I'm putting you on the spot.
Uh-oh, I'm out.
Crystal lies as I lay here and rest. Eyes of glass stare directly at death.
Now that sounds like the new Mega Dave.
That is wrong, but I like where you're going with this. That new Megadeth is jamming.
It's, dude, it's ripping. It sounds like something right off of Peace Sells.
Right.
You know, right in that era. I like it.
From deep sleep, I have broken away. No one knows. No one hears what Jeff Winslow says.
Yeah, so.
That's a staple now in Metallica.
It's a staple. I was just about to say, should we address the elephant in the room that it took how many years for you to hear Trapped Live?
It's a staple, and they just played in Prague. It's a nightly occurrence. We talked about this last week. I still can't get over it.
It's weird. It's showing up just like Dirty Window. The fact that Trapped Under Ice and Dirty Window both now are getting played more than they did when their albums were released.
Than the whole tour that they played. Just think of Dirty got played, what, twice on the St. Anger tour?
And it's already been played more this week.
Dude, I'm excited for tonight. I got to sing Trapped Under Ice. Half-assed. We're already talking about Megadeth. We are going back to the bread and butter of a podcast for all tonight, where the fan drives the discussion. I didn't think we'd fit this in this week because I'm home for just a limited time, but we're going just outside of Atlanta tonight.
I like Georgia.
You're saying that because Motley Crue just rocked Atlanta.
ATL. Yeah, you know, Vince is looking, he's looking a little skinnier. Might have hit the liposuction on the way to the bus or to the plane, who knows? But yeah, I don't know what's going on with Tommy. That's still up in the air.
We have a little intel though that there might have been a scuffle in the Motley camp. I've seen a couple articles, but I just can't confirm that yet from what we were talking about last week.
To think that maybe Vince, you know, dove at Tommy and took him down. The skinny Vince that's on stage right now, I don't know if he could break ribs. Now, Big Mac 305 Vince.
305 dude, Interstate Aeroplane, out. I think, could take watch Tommy out. Down.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, watch out. Triple chin.
We'll call that Big Mac 305 Big Meal versus Bonsai Tree.
Yeah. Supersize me versus the tree.
There's just not enough info yet to confirm that that happened. Maybe next week we'll have a final verdict.
Maybe not. Either way, there's never a dull moment when Motley Crue is in the spotlight, that's for sure.
No, I want to go back to that Megadeth tune. I read an article today that Mustaine said, quote, "I have a couple bands in my crosshairs when they wrote this record." I wonder who that's referring to.
I saw that, and I got to say, the song, lyrically, you know, it sounds very 80s. Like, if that came out in 1984, people would think that was the darkest, heaviest thing to
But like you said, it was like peace sells.
Exactly. It kind of had that Good Morning Black Friday vibe to me. Nowadays, the lyrics may be a little bit cheesy, but I think they fit with the music. It's heavy, it's thrashy, it's fresh. You know, it still sounds like Megadeth. And I feel like when Megadeth puts out something like that, that is why people expect Metallica to still write stuff that sounds like Battery or sounds like Disposable or, you know, their old school stuff, is because there are still those bands that are Slayer right up to the very end. You know, they sounded the same as they did 25, 30 years prior. You know, Metallica evolved a little bit. Not saying that Megadeth hasn't evolved, but I feel like that's why there's still that, you know, notion of like, oh, you know, first four albums Metallica, they need to go back to that.
Two bands in Dave's crosshairs, in your opinion, would be who?
I did read the article, so.
Oh, you did?
I saw the article.
I didn't get that far. Did he list them?
He kind of went into it a little bit, but it's not as straightforward as the headline makes you believe.
Well, one's got to be Metallica, let's be honest here.
Yeah, but he'll never admit that.
But who is it directed towards? You got the inside scoop here. You've got the Mustaine note. No. If I could talk tonight, you've got the Mustaine news. I've got the Tommy Lee 305 news.
Skydive naked, interstate. Man, I keep picturing that picture of Vince where he has his hands up and he looks like he's yelling at the crowd. All you see is what looks like, you know, Philadelphia Collins, what you staring at my gut for.
Definitely on the cheeseburgers.
Dude, he was eating like triple quarter pounders daily.
Oh, man.
Daily.
What'd you call him? The QP with some C?
QPs and Cs, yeah. Yeah, so his exact quote is, "I still have a couple bands in my crosshairs that I'm going after," Mustaine said, choosing not to name names and let our imaginations fill in the blanks.
Kirk Hammett, James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, Scott Ian, Kerry King.
Maybe he's closed the book though with Metallica. Maybe now he's angry with, I don't know, Bruce Springsteen.
Could be. Doesn't like the boss.
He's mad at Neil Young for taking his music off of Spotify. I don't know.
I'm glad we're recording tonight because as I just looked up, our Voting for All from last week just closed. About the 92 opener, would you rather have Nirvana or Faith No... I can't talk tonight. I don't know what it is.
It's because you're at home. Pressure.
I'm not
used to it.
I'm a lot better off when I'm in that hidden closet in that... in my undisclosed bunker in that certain city. All right, let's try this again. 63%... chose Nirvana over Faith No More for the 92 opener.
I'm kind of surprised it wasn't a little bit more swayed towards Nirvana even more.
By the way, huge shout out to Larry Levine for his concert shirt he designed for us. That was absolutely epic. Thanks, Larry.
I think we should make a shirt of that limited run. There's,
I think that would sell 10 fast. Of them. Yeah.
Get 10 of them. That's it.
Oh, only 10?
Yeah, and you and I get number 11 and 12.
Oh, you wanted number two.
I want one.
Okay.
I definitely want one. I put my hand up.
I got that one. I put my hand up.
I want a show poster.
A show poster would be cool. I'll take that too. Can I get it framed?
The coiled snake coming out of the in utero with some Guns N' Roses on the in utero gal.
Can it say, "ATFA proudly presents the Wish You Could Have Had This Tour?
Larry!
Yeah, Larry!
Dude, you ready to get to the red butter? We're talking to a 15-year-old tonight that plays in a band. How cool is that?
You know, this is first for In Podcast for All, breaking the records tonight. I think this is the youngest guest we've ever had on the show, so I'm excited and I hope he has some stories.
I'm sure he's got plenty. I remember in the very beginning with Aaron Ginther, his daughter came on at the age of 9, but wasn't the main guest. So this by far does take the cake tonight.
As main guest, yes. She was a secondary guest, but yes, you are correct.
We're going to have to like watch our language. This is a teenager, the future of the world here. All right, just from outside of Atlanta, 15 years old, plays in a rock and roll band. That's a six-piece. we've learned. Please welcome Mr. Julian. He goes by Figgy. Delan. What's up, Figgy?
It's pronounced Delan.
Delan?
A lot of people get that wrong, especially on mail.
I almost said Dehan.
Dehan. There we go. Yeah.
So we're going by Figgy, right, Julian?
Yes.
Right on. You're 15. What do you play? What instrument do you play?
Drums.
All right. This is going to be a great episode. We don't need Jeff.
The drummer's majority.
That's fine. I'll sign out right now. My work is done. I did the intro. I'm good to clock out now, right?
Nice knowing you, bud.
All right.
Figgy, how long have you been drumming?
Since I was six.
Six? Wow.
Nice.
Professionally since I was nine.
Professionally? You have more street cred than Jeff does. You're a true professional. Tell us about your band.
Well, my band is called Smokestack Lightning. We play all around the Atlanta, Johns Creek, Alpharetta, that whole area. And we even do a few Metallica songs.
Such as?
We do have to do Sandman and Nothing. I would rather do another song, but we need to give the crowd what they want.
This is true. Sometimes you have to play the hits.
Jeff and I are very familiar with that.
And I
As long as Sandman's in the number three slot, you're good to go.
I like that.
I even do my best Jason Newsted impression in the back.
Ooh.
A Newsted impression from the drum kit. How does that go?
Yeah. We're off to Never Never Land.
There we go.
That's my best Newsted.
That sounded pretty Jason. I'm
channeling 92 Wembley.
Jeff, he's doing it for the kids.
This kid knows what it's like for the kids.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it down.
So Figgy, the band name again, I didn't catch it.
Smokestack Lightning.
And it's a six piece.
Yes.
What else are you guys playing?
We have a lot of original songs, plus we play other rock covers.
Okay. Such as?
We play Sweet Child of Mine, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
Neil Young.
Oh, see, I was talking about Neil. I knew he'd come back into the picture somehow.
Wow.
He's always there hiding behind me looking.
Yeah.
He's looking over my shoulder.
But every time we do a hang before we do it, so every time I count him with the China hits like Lars.
Two.
I do the free world. I do the duh, 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 duh.
I like
brings
it, man.
The heavy metal to little Neil. I like it.
How many shows?
We also do Foos, Nirvana, Alice. We do all the good 90s stuff.
Yeah.
The juicy 90s stuff.
What are you playing of Alice?
A Man in the Box.
And which Neil Young
Rooster,
song?
Rooster. Rocking in the Free World.
Jeff, we got to check out this guy's show.
I'll go down to Georgia right now. We'll fly down there and we'll check out the show. When are you guys playing next?
We have a show on Saturday. But on July 10th, we are playing at Eddie's Attic.
Eddie's Attic.
It's a legendary venue. People like John Mayer, Justin Bieber all got their start there.
Yep, I've heard of it.
Jeff, how come we've never played Eddie's Attic?
We're missing out.
With some producers, and we're going to get a record soon.
That's
cool. Get some songs out.
Good for you.
Put out an EP or a full length or a couple singles, maybe a little bit of everything.
Probably a couple singles at first.
Stylistically, what is the originals like? Is it kind of have that classic hard rock vibe? Is it have a kind of a southern rock vibe, a metal vibe?
We have mostly that kind of music. Plus, we have some heavy ones. Like, we have a song in drop C sharp.
So you're getting kind of like that, you know, maybe Blackstone Cherry vibe or something.
Yeah.
Kind of lower
but we
tune.
Do a lot of bluesy rock, kind of that southern rock vibe.
All the other guys in the band, Figgy, were on your age?
Well, no. Well, some of them are. Some of them aren't. My sister's in the band.
Oh, that's cool.
Right
she
on.
She plays bass. She's 12. She plays bass.
Whoa.
You guys are onto something here at 12 and 15.
Yeah.
And you're out playing shows and you're going to be recording singles and going into the studio. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And our brother Sound does sound for us, plus keyboards. And then my cousin does our vocals. She's like 22, so she's an incredible vocalist.
So if she's 22, awesome. She's the one getting the beer for you then.
I have no desire. I just stick with my Sunkist Zero and my S&M2 koozie.
Dude.
Oh, I see that koozie.
Look what I'm drinking right now, Figgy. Look at this.
No way.
Oh, my.
Look at that.
What are the chances? Sunkist.
Dude, that's...
What are the chances?
Do you know how hard this is to find right now? This is the best drink in the country.
Hard.
I love it, man.
The best drink in the country is Mountain Dew Baja Blast Zero.
I can see where you're coming from that, but when you got two out of the three guys on this podcast rocking Sunkist Zero... Jeff,
yeah.
Jeff, get with
I actually,
cool. Get with the cool
kids.
I have
the best drink in the world right here. Hydration station, I like to call it.
Oh, that's just hilarious.
Well, you gotta have
all about I'm all about the water, man.
In my undisclosed bunker, secret city for training, there is no Sunkissed Zero to be found.
It's very sad.
In withdrawals. It's just a hard summer without it.
You're gonna have to get the full sugar stuff and just feel the grind on your teeth.
That's like drinking Big Red.
Oh yeah, yeah. You get the fuzzies.
Oh, Big Red, you can hear the sizzling going on, dude.
Yeah,
Fanta you can Zero's chew even... your Big Red.
You can chew that soda. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Call up Jeff Bezos. He'll help you out.
Bezos, send a drone with a 12 pack over here.
He's got it. There's plenty of Fanta being shipped via Amazon daily.
And I thought we would because we live near Atlanta, which is Coke's like central HQ.
That's true. Mm. That's a good point.
Nope. They were all busy that day. They went and saw Motley Crue.
Skydive Atlanta, Aeroplane, actually, Interstate.
So I'm actually sponsored by the dampener pad company that Tommy Lee uses, and I actually have gotten in contact with his drum tech, and we were going to go backstage and stuff for the show.
What?
Oh, dang.
He got COVID.
Wait a minute. Figgy, you're 15, and you know Tommy Lee's tech, and you almost went backstage like 5 days ago. That's what you're telling us?
Yeah.
Dude.
Wow.
It was exciting, and then the drum tech sadly got COVID, and then he put a thing out on his Facebook that anyone who was like going to go with me, we can't do it.
Oh, dude. So close.
Yeah, but I
just
I've
think
done...
if he just wouldn't have taken a test, then nobody would have known. Then you would have been backstage.
And after Tommy, you know, got tired, aka bitched out after three songs, you could have filled in for him.
Dude, you could have finished the set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except mm-hmm.
he says, no, I only do it when I have the 80-inch DW kick drum.
Exactly.
80-inch DW kick drum.
None of this 22 crap.
No, it's too little.
Well, I have a 24.
That's amateur hour.
24. I have a 24.
Okay, size. Great
size. I use a 24. It's a Ludwig. Classic Maple.
I was just going to ask you, what kind of kit you're rocking?
Yeah, I'm rocking a Ludwig Classic Maple Orange Mod.
Nice. How many pieces?
It's a 6-piece total, but we use just a snare tom, floor tom, kick drum for the setup because, like, I have a whole Gibraltar rack and everything, but it's just too big.
Yeah.
Jeff, I know why you're laughing, but.
Yeah. I went and watched your cover band and I saw the Purple Sparkle and I was like, oh. The Purple Sparkle Lars kit.
There you go, man. But what you could say is you're rocking the John Bonham kit.
Yeah. And I have the Supraphonic.
Okay.
That
very
classic.
Cool.
Everyone, everyone loves that snare.
Oh, yeah.
All right, gentlemen. We're 18 minutes into it. I think we should probably start talking about the Mighty Metallica.
I think it's around that time.
Fortune, babe. Mirror, babe. Gone insane. But the memory.
Think you remember the first time you heard them, the first time you saw them, the first time you saw a record? Like, you have a memory remains that from the olden days?
The olden days is the first memory I have of Metallica was when I was about 3 years old.
Wow, this is a record, Jeff.
I was in a toddler car seat, and Enter Sandman was playing, and I was drumming on my lap, listening to Enter Sandman, and I loved that song.
Enter the Sandman.
And you remember this?
That's one of the few memories from my childhood I remember.
Okay.
And then the real Metallica love started, I'd say, around 8 or 7. Me and my family, we were traveling to Tahoe. Because I grew up in the Bay Area.
Okay.
So I was in that whole Metallica was happening all around me. So we were going to Tahoe, and it was my dad's mini iPod Red. Remember those?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
The iPods, it's sad. So sad they're gone now.
Legendary 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Dude, I had one that didn't even have color. It was just that black and blue screen.
I remember there was this other Metallica song I liked other than Enter Sandman. I thought it was Master or something. So I went on the iPod and I was my dad's greatest hits compilation. I can't say words today. I'm like you, Shane.
Yeah.
Get some words out.
When you drink Sunkissed, you can't talk in the evening. I totally understand.
Let's be real, gentlemen. It's because you guys are in the presence of greatness right now.
Yeah.
That's true. A non-Sunkissed drinker.
I see fuel and I hit it. I see the fuel and I'm like, what's this? And I hit it and I'm obsessed with that song for like the next year.
Gasoline.
Yeah. I would be playing Minecraft while listening to Fuel from S&M.
I like that.
I remember building a movie theater and putting at the top Metallica, S&M.
How old is your dad, Figgy?
He is 53. Just turned 53 like last week.
So he saw all the cool bands back in the day is probably what he says these days.
He got
right?
to see Cliff.
Oh, what 86. A lucky guy.
He got to see them at the Meadowlands in 86, open for Ozzy.
What a lucky guy. Dude. Wow.
Which is actually one of the shows in the Master Box set.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so, my dad has a long history with Metallica. Like, he was there when he was 11 in 1981. He got those first cassette tapes because he grew up in New Jersey.
Okay.
So he was in that whole, like, the Johnny Z, the flea market. He was there.
Rock and roll heaven.
And also the Metal Militia was another big thing back then. Now, my dad wasn't directly, involved with the militia, but he had friends, and they were kind of like this mystical group to them.
The old school militia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he got like the No Life to Leather, Mega Force. Like, he had all those tapes.
He had some good timing in life.
Yeah.
Especially Cliff at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, he got to sit in line at Cheap Thrill Records in, was it Edison?
Yeah, New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, New Jersey, the night, midnight, when Kill 'Em All came out.
Oh, dang.
He heard the Dave demo. he heard them before Dave was gone.
And we're still talking about Dave.
Yeah, Dave comes Mega back Dave. In the conversation.
Oh, Dave will never go away. Dave is always there.
So figure you're jamming away to Sandman in your car seat. You find fuel on the old iPod. The iPod Red.
Yeah, it was an iPod, but it was like the slim ones. It wasn't like the big fat ones. It was like the slim ones.
When was the first time you got to see him live?
Well, the first time was my dad bought tickets to The Night Before in San Francisco, 2016.
Nice.
I was just about to ask. I saw I can see the poster behind you. I was going to ask if you were there.
Jeff?
Yeah, I was.
Jeff, you weren't there, but myself and Figgy were there, so we're the cool ones now.
So wait. I have a question.
Sure.
What night of SNM2 were you at?
Both.
He was at both.
You've been to every Metallica show I've been to.
We know how to pick them, Figgy. Jeff just sits at home and monitors and podcasts for all email inbox, and you and I go to all the cool shows.
Yeah, but so the night before.
Working.
Night before was a good show.
We were on the floor for that. 9-year-old Figgy was on the floor for that.
For your first show.
Yeah. They got up on the rail. Dude. It was me, my dad, my mom, and my cousin.
Okay.
And then my mom took me back to like the area where they were like selling food and stuff because she had a bad feeling because the energy started getting dark. If you remember, right in like the floor, the top part of the floor. Because when you're in the Bay Area, there's the Oakland crowd that goes to the Metallica shows and they aren't the brightest bunch. So.
Fair enough.
So my dad and my niece were still at the front. Or no, not my niece, my cousin. Shane, I think you're the sun-kissed illness.
I think so.
I think it's gotten to us today.
I'm trying to remember at the night before. I think they played King Nothing that night.
They did.
Okay.
They did play King Nothing. So.
And I remember the other weird thing I remember about that is they jammed about 10 seconds of what became Murder One.
Yes. And I didn't know what it was.
It was just a little doodle, and I thought, man, that's a new riff. And then
it was right after Battery.
A year later, we kind of figure out what it was. I'm like, that's what that was.
Yeah, but so my dad and my niece were at the rail still, and we were in the back eating frozen lemonade. Like, oh, everything's good. And then, and then everyone's waiting, and then, and where my dad is,
you're right.
People start punching each other. It gets insane, like a melee. Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Those Oakland people, I tell you.
Yeah. It goes there, and then they have to throw my niece over the rail and my dad because it's like people are getting punched. Like there's blood everywhere. Creeping death was really coming there.
Sounds like a ultimate fighting challenge that Jeff would watch.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, people were throwing hands. I'm in.
Jeff, if you go to more Metallica shows, you don't need UFC in your life.
I suppose. Yeah, I could just watch people fight it out on the floor.
Yeah, you don't need that pay-per-view. Just get some snake pit tickets and you get best of both worlds.
Hey, nowadays with how expensive they are, it's the same price.
Exactly.
So we were going to the, so we went back after that and my cousin was a little shooken because she had never been in a crowd like that before. And she was kind of like shaking like. It was hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're on the rail for a stadium show at that age, that can be a little intense.
Yeah, and she was like still like 14, 15 here.
Did
Dude, I'm almost 30, and that's still intense. Yeah.
Jeff's still scared.
So they ended up, scared, bro. We talked to a guard, and they let us on the VIP floor.
Wow.
They let us on the bottom of the VIP floor, and we got to watch the rest of the show from there.
Even better. If you get beat up and get bloody, so, you get upgraded tickets.
Yeah. We were right. All the way in the back, and it felt so hot. And that was still the early Worldwired stage. What would it become?
Yes.
What it would become.
That was the first time we saw what that was going to look like without the M and the A's on it. That was the stage.
Yeah, and that was also, I think, the first time we saw the Vulture. Battery, I thought, would have been the first time they used it, because that was the first show of 2016.
I think you're right. The Black Vulture.
Yeah. And then up on the VIP, there were two tiers to it. So the one was the like ticket people, and then there were the like guests.
Mm-hmm.
And up there, well, I saw Guy Fieri. Huh. There was Guy Fieri, and also
Guy.
Was so he the cooking? Show's over.
No, he was selling Magnaflows, or Flowmasters, whatever. What I remember, what I think it was Flowmaster.
Jeff, you know I call that guy Guy Fieri.
Guy, come on, don't hate on Guy.
This is the Mexican cook, right?
So what? What?
Dude, he's like the white surfer, dude.
I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Who's the cook?
Oh. Are we going? I want to hear what's happening.
No, who's the cook, Jeff? Who's the Mexican cook?
There's a bunch of Mexican. What?
The guy that has like a taco restaurant.
Danny Trejo?
No, the guy Fury's like a restaurant guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a taco restaurant.
Yeah, but he's always in like taco commercials.
Oh my god.
I'm being serious. This is
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Triple D.
Yeah, I know him, but he also has
drives the Camaro.
No, you would know the Camaro, but he's also into Mexican food.
Sure, probably. He's a cook, he's a chef. I'm sure he likes Mexican food.
But there's restaurants in Laughlin, Nevada that have his name on it. I've eaten there many times on overnights.
Well, like Guy Fieri tacos.
Seriously, this is what this
Oh my god.
The next time I go to with my new company, I won't go to Laughlin anymore, but I'm gonna have someone go to Laughlin for my old company and take a picture.
You've got connects.
Of Guy's restaurant. I swear it's a Mexican joint.
Guy's tacos.
You and Pizzled are your, you know, professional foodies. You should know this shit.
Pizzle will write in or text us when he hears this, and he'll say yes or no that Guy has a taco restaurant, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't, but Pizzle would know.
Pizzle, maybe. I don't know. He's not happy with me.
Well, he doesn't watch TV anymore either, so.
He's not happy after my comment that I'm taking over his bass duties after I download Musician from last week's episode.
Dude. You should already know how to play Pulling Teeth.
Oh, that's easy. I could do that. I could do that at Figgy's age. I got this.
See, Figgy, this is what happens is Shane and
Guy
I get
Fieri
on our...
Guy Fieri does have a taco restaurant. We've
Thank you.
It.
Thank
it,
you.
It does exist. We've confirmed it.
The 15-year-old confirms it for us, Jeff. I love it.
Okay, well...
Take that, Jeff.
Yeah, but you know what? Guy is a white guy. He's not a Mexican cook.
I didn't say he was Mexican. I said he has a Mexican restaurant.
No, you said who's the Mexican cook?
That's him.
Oh my god. See, this is what happens. We get on our little tangents and then we get sidetracked into a million different things.
This is important information if you ever want tacos from Guy Fieri.
Guy Pontiac Fiero.
Fieros were two-seaters that did not have a trunk.
They had a frunk.
Did they?
I think they did.
Even in the 80s?
I think they had a little...
they were copying the old the Tesla blueprints in the 80s?
I think they had a little storage unit under the bonnet.
Oh, boy.
Engine's mid-engine, so it'd be under the boot.
Figgy, thank your father for looking up that most important restaurant information.
Yeah.
That was huge.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anyways, like you were saying, sorry, we interrupted to talk about tacos.
It's
fine.
It's
fine.
Okay, it was
we're still talking about the night before show and Guy Fieri was there.
So Guy Fieri was there, and then my dad is across. He's a pastor.
Okay.
But he also has blue hair. He's a great man. He just was all about just being good.
I like how you said he's a great man. He has blue hair.
He has blue hair. I like that.
That's awesome. I love it.
So he's very into like Jesus and like just doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And everyone being united.
Nothing wrong. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
So this guy, some guy sees his cross and starts looking at my dad up from the guest part. And he comes down and he says, "Do you like Jesus?" And then my dad says, "Yes, I do." And this is Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant.
Whoa.
Oh,
so
that's right. Cage opened up that show.
Yeah. And him and my dad talked for like 2 hours on that floor.
Wow.
And they had to kick us out. They're like, the AT&T Park people were like, "You have to go now." And yeah, we've been friends with them ever since.
That's cool, man. Of all people to run into at a Metallica show.
I've been very blessed in my life.
I would say so.
I would agree.
That is cool. Cage, I think they were the only opener that night, weren't they?
Yeah, they were the only opener.
That is cool. And of all people to run into your dad, and your dad's is he a minister?
No, he's just a pastor.
Pastor, I'm sorry. Cool. So you go from the night before, and then I'm guessing your next shows were S&M?
Yeah, my next show, well, I did Metallica Day at AT&T Park that year.
Okay.
So that would have been a few months later. So luckily we had some connections, and we were able to get a box for that game.
That nice. Would be the way to see that.
Yeah. That's cool. And we also did the it's like Willie's Alley or something, where they had a Q&A with Rob and Kirk. Triple's Alley. It was called Triple's Alley. And this was before it was Oracle Park.
That's right. It did change.
I'm deeply irked that they changed it, because that my whole childhood, it was AT&T Park.
AT&T.
And they changed it on me.
They do that a lot lately.
Yeah. And then so we were up in the box section, and we actually got to meet Rob Trujillo.
All right, Figgy, you've met Cage the Elephant. You know Cage the Elephant. You've met Rob.
Qua!
And you've met the best Mexican restaurant owner of all time by the age of 15. Write that down, Jeff.
Yeah, the best Mexican restaurant owner. His name is Rob Trujillo.
I've also connected with Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden.
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
Shut the front door. Let's back up a minute here.
Okay, I did a lot of cool things by the age of 15, but I did not meet Iron Maiden, Cage the Elephant, and Metallica by 15. What?
Let me tell you guys what I was doing at 15. Wait, this is a family-friendly show. I probably should not start talking about that, but it was not that cool, I'll tell you what.
Where did Nico...
So that came out of me and my dad went to...
Wow, where'd this come from?
We went to me and dad... So we were also a part of the Iron Maiden fan club. And we like did that whole thing that in 2017. So this would have been the next year. And we won the first to the barrier contest. So we got to be up front. So I got a wristband from Nico's security guard. And it was really a magical night, because we were literally right on the rail. It was an incredible show.
Oh,
and then when we really met him is, awesome, so you're musicians. So you obviously know the NAMM convention in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's really where I reconnected with Nico, is wow. Because I've gone to 3 NAMMs. I didn't go this year because obviously now I'm in the Atlanta area, and
that's impressive.
Yeah, because the last NAMM I went to, I got COVID before the news came out.
Sure.
We were sick the day we were leaving.
Oh, dude.
And then we were sick for 3 months. It was very bad. But the first NAMM I went to, we were at the Sonar booth, which was Nico's drum company at the time. And we met his tech and stuff, and we were showing this video. And this guy grabs the video on the phone out of my dad's hand. And it turns out to be Nico McBrain's son.
So you're like, check this out.
And then he's like, "No one has played this like my dad. Like you play it just like my dad. And I want to go show him." So we go over to this drum booth.
Wow.
And there's this set of drums there. And then I play the Trooper for Nico in front of him.
Wait a minute.
At NAMM.
Wait, just a minute. Hold the phone. So Nico is not at the booth, but his brother is, and then catches wind of this
his
video.
His son sees the video. And then he brought his dad out, and we talked, and then we went over to the booth, and I played it for him.
And how many people are watching you play this?
A few people. There's only a few people in the booth, but I think we posted it to YouTube. I think that's got like 18K views since.
Nice.
All right, Jeff, you're at NAMM, and you're just hanging out, and let's say Kirk Hammett's tech, Justin, sees a video of you playing and then goes and grabs Kirk, and then you have to play it for him. What are you feeling?
Man, I'd probably have to teach him how to play Nothing Else Matters real quick.
No, he has to play Helpless Record Store Day.
Oh, God. Kirk, hold on a second. Let me show you what you did wrong, bud.
Hey, if Figgy knows the helpless record store day, he's a true and podcast for all listener. I like this.
Yeah, so,
my favorite solo ever. Duh.
Did you play the whole song for him?
No, I just played a small portion, but then we became good friends. We got to go to a few more shows in 2019.
Holy cow.
And we're like good friends with his family now, so it's been an incredible experience.
Oh, you know, Jeff just going to the main concert, hanging with the McBrain family.
Nico's got, at least he used to, he had a cool Jaguar XKRS, and the logos were replaced with Eddie, and
yes,
the font is written in Iron Maiden
yes
font.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He seems like a cool dude. Like, what you see is kind of what you get.
Yeah. They all seem fairly nice.
And I see a lot of videos of Nico like actually sitting in with Maiden tribute bands, like showing up unannounced and just ripping a few songs and leaves. It's like,
well, wow. Have you gone to his rib place? Because I know you live in Florida.
I have not. I know
he's
where it
waiting
is.
For Nico's tacos to pop up.
I got to go to Guy Fieri's first.
No. Yeah. Nico came over to Shane's house and said, "All right, Shane, I'm going to teach you how to put your ride over your tom-tom.
I'm going to hide
cover up your tom with your ride.
I'm going to hide your whole face with 14 toms. 26-inch ride that you won't be able to see me behind for the whole show.
You have to hit just the very, very edge of it."
So between Nico, Cage Elephant, Rob Trujillo, Figgy, who else have you met in this world in 15 short years?
Well, Rob, he actually gave us a bunch of picks. Because there's more to the Rob story than you think.
Well, we're ready to hear them. What do you got?
There's more to the Rob story because my aunt and my mom and my cousin, Shane, the sun-kissed.
Yep.
It's really getting to me today.
I know. That S&M2.
You guys are dehydrated. You need some more water.
We need to get actual water in
that
here.
That S&M2 koozie is hindering your zero sugar can.
Yeah, I actually got to play for St. Paul and the Broken Bones, if you know them.
Dang.
Yes.
They're a really good band out of Alabama. I got to connect with them a few years ago. And I've also played twice on stage with Rick Springfield.
What?
Springfield? No way.
Basically, we were at this show. And
I love how,
like,
we're not talking about Metallica. This kid's just name dropping left and right, Jeff. This is awesome.
Yeah.
The next thing he's going to tell us that he knows Elon or something.
We don't need Metallica. We got Nico and we got Rick.
Hey, I like Rick. Rick has got some hits.
Well, what happened is we were at the show and we did the VIP. And then
did
the guitar tech
Jesse's
we were talking
girl?
No, because so basically the guitar tech was like, "Hey, he lets kids on stage if you come down during don't talk to strangers." So we go down, and this is at two different shows. And me and my sister both get on stage.
Holy
and I start
cow.
Playing drums, and then I'm playing, and then Rick says his drummer's – so his drummer's name is Jorge.
Mm-hmm.
He's played with Rick for many years. And then literally – Rick says, "This guy's a rock star. Jorge, you're fired.
Figgy's
this kid's
hired.
Replacing you."
He said,
"Dude,
Rich,
incredible.
I'm in. I got this."
Yeah. Yeah, I was like 9 just going, dude.
How fitting. Duh. He says, "Duh. Hi, I'm Rick. I'm a stranger, but I want you to come play on the song Don't Talk to Strangers."
Well, not if they're famous. Not if they're famous. If they're famous, it's a different story.
Michael Jackson was famous.
Who?
Yeah.
Touche.
I mean, Jeff, who needs smokestack lightning when you're hanging out with Nico and Rick Springfield? Let's be honest.
Dude, I'm saying, like, man, this kid has lived the life of many.
Oh, Figgy's not
already
a kid. A 15-year-old rock star that's hanging out with these guys. He's going to be the next Ty Trujillo that's, you know, playing with Korn and Suicidal before you know it.
I swear. Good for you,
slapping
man. Good
the
for
bass.
You. I slap at the bass, man.
Yeah, I listened to the bass episode. Good stuff.
Did you agree with
I
our
like
list?
I like the Green Rick.
Thank you. Thank
I like
you.
I'm on Team Green Rick here.
Thank you.
Pizzle, you're not here, but you are here right now. I'm signing out for both of us at this point. And good night in Podcast for All.
Drummers know what's up, Jeff. Just be warned.
Drummers. Yeah. Drummers.
We're special.
I'm not going to. Don't. Special Ed.
No.
I'm just kidding,
we know
Shane.
What a good looking Rick looks like.
I'm just giving you a hard time, bud.
All right, Figgy, let's talk some more Metallica, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Rob, we had these shirts on that said, my mom and my cousin had shirts on that said Stay Trujillo, and it had a picture of Rob on it. So he was like, "I love the shirts." And then he goes over to his tech, and he pulls out this backpack, and he just starts throwing picks at us from, all different years. And these are authentic Metallica picks.
Nice.
So, yeah, those are in a frame right now, resting. And also in the frame back here, because he also signed a few of our photos from the night before.
Stand-up guy. So you saw the night before, and you saw both S&M shows?
I only got to go to night one.
Okay, and what other shows have you seen?
I was at Atlanta. And I was 10 feet from you, Shane. I
was I was
right to the right of the rail.
Okay.
Yeah, last year. Well, here's where the story continues.
I was standing like right in front of house for that whole show.
Yeah, I was like 20 feet. I was like to the right of the rail.
Okay. It was close.
So my Metallica journey, we went to S&M 2. That was an incredible show. Once in a lifetime. And the one interesting thing about that show is we took my grandfather.
Wow.
He sadly passed away this January, but
I'm sorry.
In 2019,
but Grandpa we took him to see show. S&M too. Wow.
He almost got in fights with people. Like, my cousin was talking to this guy, and he goes, "Don't look at them. They're scum." He legit says that in front of the guy.
What? Scum? Least, some kind of monster?
Not, yeah, I was going to say, not. You should have said, no, not scum. Scum.
yeah. No, but we took him to the concert because I have family that's very close with the symphony, so we were able to get tickets because, you know, the first night, so many fifth members got so angry.
I was one of them.
So we went to S&M 2. My grandfather was also a big MTT fan.
Oh, Michael Tilson, right?
Yeah, he's a huge Michael Tilson fan. So he was like, yeah, I love Michael Tilson the entire time.
Right on.
Yeah, so that show was like my first like Metallica show that I could truly remember, because the night before I just remember snippets. This was one that was more vivid. So Shane, you were at the grounds around Chase Center.
Yes.
And anyone who was there might know. Do you remember? So there was that merch booth with the 10-mile line.
Yes.
And then there was that Guitar Hero trivia with Pepsi.
Yes, I do remember that. Yep.
So the first night we get there, and I've never played Guitar Hero in my life, surprisingly. So I go up to this trivia, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it. And I literally ace every single question, and the guy's in disbelief.
Wow.
At the age and they were like really simple rock questions. 12 like or 13? Weren't that hard. Yeah, they weren't that hard. Yeah, I would have been 12, 13 at this time. And then they give me a bunch of this Pepsi stuff. But I'm a Coke guy, so.
You're like, what's this, like, dude? I'm from Atlanta.
Yeah.
About the diet sodas.
Yeah, and then I played Guitar Hero horribly. I butchered Rage Against the Machine.
Well, yeah, because everybody does. Even Rage butchers Rage.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, and when I thought Rage in my head, I'm like, oh no, Jeff.
Oh yeah.
No, he's not going to like that comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, Figgy, this is a perfect segue. If you rocked Metallica Rock and Roll Trivia over Guitar Hero, I think we should play some Jump in the Fire trivia with you.
Oh, we going to do it?
I think so. Oh. Jeff and I haven't played Jump in the Fire for a couple months now because
A
couple seasons, it feels like. I think it's time to get back into the mix of things. I never thought I would, you know, surprise a 15-year-old with Metallica trivia, but I think you're ready for this if you're game, dude.
I might be.
Okay, well, let's see how it goes here.
I know the answer to those 40th questions, so I think I'll be set. I listened to all the 40th trivia.
All from our episode?
Yeah, I was... Those questions
You
were
knew
so
all
hard.
Those?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Except one of the questions I think was wrong.
Uh-oh, Jeffy's
calling Metallica's a fit. I'm taking a hot take here. So when Stefan said, what was the name of the 91-93 tour? The answer was Wherever We May Roam, but I don't think that's the case.
What's your opinion?
91, beginning of 91, that is the Monsters of Rock tour with AC/DC. 91 to 92,
true.
That's Wherever We May Roam.
True.
And then the stadium tour was just called Guns N' Roses Metallica Stadium Tour. It wasn't called Wherever We May Roam. And 93 was called Nowhere Else to Roam.
I think you have a good point there.
So
I think you might have just been looking for one of the answers.
Oh, one of the answers? Just one? But I was like, huh. Was that every show called that?
You bring up a very good point. I never thought about it like that.
The Nirvana tour.
Jeff, I did not have this much Metallica knowledge at the age of 15. Did you?
My Metallica knowledge at 15 was probably better than it is now, to be honest.
I think we should jump in the fire. I'm going to ask question number one here, and here we go. All right, Figgy. No pressure here. It's just like you're at the Guitar Hero booth outside Chase Center. There's nobody watching. Yeah. We only average a couple thousand downloads a week, so
hey,
you're
all good. Just like, it's just like Nico watching you play the Trooper.
Yeah, if you can play the Trooper in front of Nico, you can crush this, so no worries, dude. Question one. I think he's going to get this. Maybe. How many shows were played at Metallica's 30th anniversary at the Fillmore?
Four. In December of 2011.
I couldn't even do my the drum roll. He had already beat me to it.
He even has the dates. I love it.
Boy, well, I guess I'll feed him this awesome question because I'm sure he's just going to ace them all now.
I think he is. I'm feeling good about this.
All right. Question number two. The Beyond Magnetic EP has how many songs?
Four. Helen Back.
He's going to
make Helen Back. Rebel of Babylon.
Yep.
Helen Back and Hate Train.
He said Helen Back twice. So
wait, I said Helen Back twice.
You got one more,
There's
bud.
There's one more. Helen Back, Rebel of Babylon. Hate Train. And
you're missing the best song on the whole thing.
Yeah, don't even say that lyric.
It's
don't
my
even...
favorite.
Just
one.
A Bullet Away.
Yeah, that's what it is. From a 45.
Yeah, I love that song.
That line gets me every time.
The 45.
The Calvary.
I was at that show when they played that. I'm like, this is a fucking good tune.
You're like, this is a terrible song.
Nope, it's still solid. From a 45.
Did you see them? Did you see them play The View?
Yes, I did, Figgy.
You saw? No,
he,
oh my!
He went
God.
To the bathroom.
I was there for. I was no, there for Lou kidding. Reed night. Yes.
Yeah, the Lou Reed night.
The one song from Lou was cool. When they did two, I'm like, oh, God. And then they played three, and I'm like, okay, get the hook.
See, Kirk doesn't want to actually admit that the reason he won't listen to Lulu is because it's terrible.
It's because he just misses Lou so much, dude. The record's amazing.
Lou was such a... Hey, Lou was probably a great guy, but
all right,
he
Figgy,
wasn't a great singer.
Question three, and if you can name all of these, that's a huge bonus. Wow, I'm impressed already. Here we go. Question three. How many vinyls have been released from the new Metallica Vinyl Club?
There's been five because there was four last year. Or no, two this year. So last year would have been Donington 87, Disappeared, Leaked and Live, Motherload, and the other one would have been, I have it on the tip of my tongue here, The Tribute to Chris Cornell. And then the two this year would have been Black in 2020 and Saint Anger Rarities.
So that's a total of what?
Five? Or no, six. It'd be six.
Nicely done, man. Wow.
Oof. I would have not gotten that question right.
Donington, Mother, Saint Anger, Blacken, Cornell, and Disappear. Nicely done.
I knew the two from this year. I didn't know any of them from last year.
Yes, you did.
Swear to God.
That's you're getting old, dude. Your memory's just shot.
I remembered the most recent one, which was, let's face it, the only one that really matters.
The rarities.
Jeff Winslow.
Yeah, there you go. See? Someone's paying attention. He knows.
A 15-year-old is 3 for 3 and Jump in the Fire. And in my opinion, that last question was on an expert level.
It was. Yeah, I think he might... Might do all right here.
I think so.
What color is Lars's drum kit in his home studio?
From the Metallica Mondays?
Yes, sir.
It's the orange kit from like the Death Magnetic to Night Before, I think, was or 2016.
Nicely done.
Actually, it's Shane's kit. Shane's orange kit.
I've got it right here on the shelf.
Oh, you have the orange and the purple?
Oh, dude, stand by. I got a Tom sitting on my office here.
Oh, let me see. Let me see the Tama.
He's just missing the green sparkle.
Oh, the green sparkle.
That's Tom 1 favorite. Is a paperweight.
Oh, wow.
There it is.
Oh.
You can see it's
and it's legit Star Classic Magnetic Orange.
Oh, wow. And can I show collectibles now? The collectible Metallica?
Of course, dude. This is your hour, Figgy.
Master of Puppets is my dad's favorite album, so he bought this in 2017.
Oh,
nice.
The Master ESP.
That is awesome. The Master guitar. That's cool.
What's on the back of that?
It's just...
Okay. I've never seen
special.
One.
Yeah, it has a nice pearl inlay.
That is
it says
cool.
Master of Puppets.
We have the Kill 'Em All one.
Oh, my dad wants someday to collect all of them.
They should have made a Justice one, Jeff.
They should have.
Oh, they should have done a Justice in Black Album 1.
Oh, Justice would have sold well.
guitars.
Load would have been great.
The black album guitar. Here you go. Here's your black guitar.
And the only place there's a snake is like the 12th fret.
Yeah, just a tiny snake. Little. No, yeah. It's on the back. It's on the neck plate.
All right, Figgy, question 5, jump in the fire. You've killed it so far. I'm pretty sure you're going to get this. If you get the bonus to the... Who wrote these questions, by the way, Jeff? This is
I just realized this question. Really? How is that even a question?
The Fillmore was easy. The Magnetic EP was okay. The Vinyls was tough. The home studio, a diehard would know that. This last question's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Let me hear.
Quebec Magnetic was filmed in what city?
Quebec City. What the?
And for the bonus point, can you name the arena?
Something French Pepsi Arena.
Hey, he got Pepsi, and that's the American portion of it. So we're counting that as
a W.
And
it was recorded on October 30th and 31st.
That is correct, because I remember they had the Halloween masks. Yep, you're right. Holy shit.
He knows more than I do.
It was correct. The name of the arena is the Colisée Pepsi in French.
So I was close. Just there.
You got it, dude. Jeff?
Did I get the bonus point?
I just wanted to like keep making up just bogus questions and see how far he can take this.
That was on another level.
That was impressive as all can be. Jeff, I'm going to ask him a couple more questions, okay?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to improv these, and if you want to
put him on the spot,
okay. What is Tom 1 on Lars's kit is what size?
10.
That is correct.
That's pretty good. That's good.
What is track number 8 on Reload?
Number 8 on Reload. How many songs are on Reload?
There are. You want me to tell you how many there are?
Yeah.
There's 13.
There's 13 songs on a Reload.
So,
oh man,
found his Achilles heel, Jeff.
Reload and Reload are kind of a gray edge for me.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that. He just showed his hand.
Yeah, he just did. What's track 8 on Reload, man? One of the best songs on the record.
So, one of the best songs on the record.
In my opinion.
Attitude!
Oh, no!
It wasn't Attitude.
Oh.
Low Man's Lyric.
Breaking my heart, Figgy.
Can I answer it?
Jeff, you have no idea.
I got really Load and Reload. Come on.
You have number 8 on Reload?
I do.
Okay, what do you got?
Bad Seed.
Nicely done. With the cough. I thought Figgy was going to show you up.
Yeah,
that's the one area where I always do good in the Metallica eras that people don't want to
the rarities. Shine.
Yeah, you know, Load, Reload, Saint Anger. Oh, dude, count me in all day long.
When you're 15 years old and you know the diameter of Lars's first tom, that's an expert level. That's a master's degree.
I gotta get Reload and Load though.
When we have you back on, Figgy, we're gonna ask you 50 questions of just track numbers.
50 questions.
Yeah, 50 questions.
I might. That's the part where I might get like.
That part, Jeff, you'll know so much. You'll be like, at the 4-minute and 12-second mark in Disposable Heroes, what note is Kirk playing?
Yeah. We're gonna get really.
The wrong one.
That was a great answer. That was a great answer.
Well, that must have been Nothing Else Matters. All open notes.
Right. All right, we do have a couple more questions for you, but they're not quite trivia related unless Shane still has a few more.
No, dude, Figgy, congratulations. You blew half of our 50-year-old guests out of the water. That was impressive.
You done good.
Thank you.
Now on to the tough question. Are you ready for the tough one? This is the one where things are going to get heated and controversial, and you're going to hate us, but we have to do it. The song that should not be, what song should not exist?
Does it have to be studio or live?
Anything.
You can be anything. Prefer studio because it makes it a little bit more interesting, but if it's live...
Okay. What? I have a live and a studio.
Okay.
What? Even better.
My studio song... Wait, are these the rules with no Saint Anger?
Yes.
These are the rules with no... Oh, don't.
What 15-year-old Jeff doesn't like anything? They love all this stuff.
Maybe. I actually don't know if there's a lot of 15-year-olds these days that actually listen to Metallica, dude. I don't know.
That's why this is so cool tonight.
I like most of the songs on Saint Anger.
Most? You should be saying all?
I like... He's a big fan. There's one song that I can't... That just pierces my ears.
Okay.
Is it
Purify?
No, it's not Singing Ear.
It is indeed Purify.
Wow. Yeah, see,
the harmonies just pierce my ears.
This is why we outlawed that whole album from this, because Purify kept getting chosen, and even I would potentially choose that, and I love Saint Anger. The only good part about Purify is literally the intro riff, and that's the only good part about it.
Okay, so I have to think this through. What is my song that should not be?
It's okay if it's Master of Puppets. You can say it.
Stop.
It's not going to be any of those.
It's okay if it's Enter Sandman.
Stop.
What's a bad Metallica song?
See?
It's hard, man. It's hard. Yeah.
Well, see, there none of them are really bad. It's just some are better than others. Look at it that way.
What's my
Figgy's dad has been a fan since Kill 'Em All release day, and he can't even come up with a song, Jeff.
What's his song? Ask him what his song is.
What is your song that should not be?
Oh, shit.
It can't be Saint Anger.
Yeah, no, you can't. Not enough Saint Anger.
Oh, I hear the preacher swearing in the background.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, are we allowed to do that?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I don't think God sits around saying, oh, don't say that.
This is true.
What a guy.
Yeah.
He just wants us to be kind.
Can I see Reload and Load?
This is true.
No, nah, man, you know, it's a tough one, man. It's,
I don't know.
The Unforgiven 2?
What?
The B-Bender.
I'm being funny.
The B-Bender.
Wow. Had me scared for a minute there.
I was getting scared.
Yeah.
Don't get fucking scared.
Don't get fucking scared, man.
I might go Early Days in the worst song of the early days.
Yes, I like where he's going here.
That I don't listen to. Is this a song that I won't listen to?
Say it.
Yeah.
Escape.
Wow.
Okay, we'll take it.
Okay,
I'll take it.
That's a fair answer.
Trapped Under Ice, I love.
Thank you.
That's a great song.
Well, yeah, it's a staple now every day. You should like it.
Escape is about to be a staple here pretty soon.
Yeah, you just watch. Yeah. But not in America.
Yeah. I'll take Escape. Did your dad come up with one? Did he come up with it?
What? How is he even mentioning the Presidio demo?
I'll tell you what. That's not technically on the album Saint Anger. So if he wants to use that, I'll accept it.
I'll go with that.
He's like, I'm good with that.
Temptation make you dead.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird one. No, Shadow of the Cross is pretty.
There were some decent little riffs.
The slow All Nightmare Long riff. But my live song is Jump in the Fire.
What?
In a stadium.
In a stadium.
If I go to a club and see Metallica and they play Jump in the Fire, I would be happy. But if they were to play Jump in the Fire in a stadium, I would be like, what?
Well, you're not going to be happy this week because I sense it's coming.
Imagine you just go into a stadium and you hear...
Yeah, I would... Dude, they could play Enter Sandman the whole night, and if I hear Jump in the Fire once, then I'm good.
Yep, successful.
See, I want to go to the stadium shows and see like what they've done recently. And this is actually going to lead us into, at least for me, my final question for you. It's in Voting for All, and it has to do with the set list that they've been doing lately. So obviously, I'm sure you've been following it. Sandman's in the third slot. They're playing Window. They're playing Bleeding. They're playing Shane's Song. They're playing Trapped.
Why couldn't they do that in Atlanta?
Exactly.
No shit.
This is a really simple In Voting for All, but I think it's a big one. Do you think Metallica brings that kind of set list to America, or are they just going to jump right back in to hits? So it's a simple yes or no. Will Metallica play quote-unquote rare sets in America?
Or are they going to play the set list that Figgy and I saw in Atlanta?
Yeah. Holier Than Thou was the great, though.
Yeah,
it's not right. Trapped in Window and Bleeding.
Yeah, if Holier was the rare one that night, it was a little. Yeah,
I think yes for the Buffalo and Pittsburgh shows, not for Lollapalooza.
That's what I said when we were talking about it.
Yeah, good. I agree good with thoughts. That. And yeah, I might go to Pittsburgh.
What do you think?
If you do, Figgy, let me know. I'll be there.
Yeah, hang with you and Larry.
Larry. They will. Shane, what do you think?
Are you talking like the exact, like Trapped and Bleeding and shit?
No, just like rare songs. It doesn't have to be Trapped and Bleeding, but just rare type of set list. Or do you think they're going to go back to the standby here in the States?
I got to go with no, and it's going to be a disappointment for those Buffalo-Pittsburgh shows. I'm going no.
I'm going to stick with you on that one. I'm going no as well. Right. Just because I have that feeling in my bones.
I've got a feeling of an American Spotify set list coming our way.
Yeah. There you have it,
Fuel
folks.
Is in the Trapped Under Ice slot, and Memory is in the Bleeding Me spot.
Pretty much. Yep.
I'd love to hear Trapped.
And no longer will we have Sandman 3rd. It'll be closing Nothing Else Sandman. Good night.
And Dirty Window will be Wherever I May Roam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, except I can't complain because I saw Outlaw Torn.
This is true.
Can't beat
and
that.
And Unforgiven 3.
Yep. Pretty badass, dude.
So I can't complain.
You can't complain about anything. Your experiences in 15 years are absolutely impressive. That is so cool, dude.
Yeah, but the thing about SNM2 is the set list got leaked the night of, if you remember this. The set list got leaked. And I remember I was with my cousin, and they were SNM2 was starting, and I was still kind of like, didn't know all the Metallica songs. And I remember I'd watched a video on YouTube with like predictions, and someone said The God It Failed, and they were playing The Day It Never Comes, and I go, is this The God That Failed?
Good guess.
And then I think about it, and I'm like, oh, and I look at the set list, and now I'm ashamed
like,
of myself.
He's like, oh, no. Dang. He's like, wrong instrument starting.
Wrong.
Name that tune. Day That Never Comes. Do-do-do. 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 That would have been cool with the symphony.
Yeah.
Red Fan with the symphony.
Now we're talking.
Easy there, pal.
They'd be moving.
Easy.
Come on, Jeff. Yeah. Live a little.
But, no covers.
Stone
Not
Cold.
For S&M. Helpless.
How cool would Stone Cold be as a cover for S&M? Come on, just think about that.
Ooh,
not cool.
With that
not
intro,
cool.
The
no, not cool at all. Not cool. I hate it. Yes. I don't like what you're doing here.
Yes.
Nope. No, the only song that would have been good with an orchestra for a cover would be Page, okay?
No.
Or Astronomy.
Astronomy, yes, not Page.
Are you kidding me? Page would sound amazing with an orchestra.
No.
That chord progression and the big open chords, that song was made to have an orchestra behind it.
No, I'd rather listen to Smokestack Lightning.
I'd listen to them anyways.
Right, over Page with a symphony. I'd be going to sleep to that Smokestack.
Oh, my
all right, here we go.
You also play Turn the Page. I forgot.
Play it with a symphony next time you play it.
I'm kind of getting annoyed.
I hate to ask a 15-year-old this, but do you lean down into the snare mic and sing the Kid Rock vocals during the bridge?
No, but I get down, like I'll like do the hi-hat.
Shane
I'll kind of go down.
And then,
all right, Figgy, don't tell your parents that I told you this, but when they say smoke the day's last cigarette, you have to insert the Kid Rock lyric and lean down to your snare drum mic and say, smoke a fat ass joint.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my God.
Now, when we hang up on this call, Figgy, I want you to YouTube Metallica, Kid Rock, Minneapolis, 2000. Turn the page and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, were you at that show?
Yes.
Right on. Wait, which nights? Because I know there were like three of them.
Yes, there were. This was... Oh, he did it all three nights, actually. Look up night three.
That was a little bit before his time.
I take that back. Night two.
You were at night two?
Yep. Just look up any 2000 Metallica, Kid Rock, Turn the Page, and you'll hear a kid say, smoke a fat ass joint, and James kind of has a little chuckle.
Yeah.
So every time Jeff and I play that live, I have to throw that in there because anytime I hear that song, it's the only thing I can think of is that 2000 show.
That tour is so good.
It was. That was the M2K tour.
Yeah. 2x4.
Yep.
Yep.
Da, da, da. Jeff, this kid knows too much. I think I'm just going to retire and he's going to just take my spot in the band and the podcast.
Can you sing?
Yeah,
I can do Jason Newsted.
So do you have a vocal mic on your drum kit when you're playing live?
They just set up a mic guitar? Where I go like, yeah. I do have a vocal mic just next to me where I like lean and I go. I also do the child part.
Oh, the Sandman child?
Yeah, because no one else will do it.
Oh, it's all good. We got a track for that. So you can, if you play with us, all you gotta do is just hit a button.
You just hit a button and smoke a fat ass joint.
And you just trigger the backing track.
You should have your sister do the child part.
She doesn't. Okay, so my sister hates Metallica.
We'll call Mick Rock.
She hates Metallica with all her being.
What?
So when she's around me, she gets so angry. She's like, stop talking about Metallica.
What's her problem?
It's a phase.
It's a phase. You'll grow out of it.
It's a phase.
What is she like? What does she listen to?
BTS.
Oh.
An emo.
Oh.
Oh. That's
all right.
My Chemical Romance.
MCR.
MCR.
Dude, well, I was trying to think
of all these acronyms. I'm like, is that Guy Fieri?
I had my phase. You know, I listened to Metallica when I was in high school and then listened to a lot of other stuff after that.
My Chemical Romance, Trivium.
Dude, I had my emo phase. I was rocking out Fall Out Boy back when I was in middle school, back in like 06, dude.
When did you start listening to Seven Dust?
I listened to Paramore too. Yes, I did listen to
Seven
Dust. Dude, I've been listening to Seven Dust since I was a little kid.
Okay, so that wasn't a phase.
I've been rocking LeJon since day one.
LJ1, baby.
I have another tidbit.
Who?
Oh,
so
okay.
Turns out.
Don't say you know Seven
My
Dust.
Dad's trainer.
Oh, yeah.
My dad's trainer is. Trains Morgan Rose, and I've met him.
Here we go.
Morgan's working on a new project. He took us in his car when we were at the gym, and he let us hear it, man. And it's insanely good.
Morgan just made me sad because he said in the media that Seven Dust is talking about their end.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. I love Seven Dust.
I'd like to see Seven Dust before they're out.
Isn't Seven Dust from Atlanta?
Yeah
they're from Atlanta.
Yeah. I just put that two and two together there.
LeJon or LeVon, as our bass player calls him.
That's right.
He says, he goes, I ain't going to go listen to no LeVon.
Jeff, maybe we should post the video on our APFA socials of when you and LeJon were outside the tour bus sending Pizzle a message.
Yeah, we had LeJon roast our bass player. It was pretty great.
That was a great night with him, man.
It was, dude, nothing but class, those guys. They just wanted to hang out.
Hey, LeJon, can we take a video of you roasting someone you have no idea who you're talking about? He goes, oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Sure, man. What do you need?
What do you want me to say? One of the best things ever.
Maybe I still have that. Should we play that on the air?
I think it needs to be resurfaced.
Just a minute here.
People need to know what Mr. LeJon had to say about Pizzle Presley.
Let me see if I have that. I think I do.
You're in for a real treat here, sir.
Oh, I do have it.
Uh-oh.
I'm getting the exclusive here.
Uh-oh.
I do have
it. Turn it up. Rewind it. Up to the mic. We got to hear this crystal.
All right. I'm going to try to make it as crystal as I can. And here we go. Hang on.
1, 2, 3. Mike Presley, I'm not apologizing. I'm fucking you, too. They told me to say that, and I'm sorry. I love you.
One more time.
I apologize.
1, 2, 3. Mike Presley, I'm not apologizing. I'm fucking you too. They told me to say that, and I'm sorry. I love you, bro.
At least he, see, all respect. At least he
How
said,
cool was he for doing that?
Yeah, he just said, love you, bro. Peace.
Yeah, they told me to say it, man. I love you.
I'd apologize and fuck you too.
That's because Pizzle saw him in like 1998 at the Xmas Ball in St. Paul. And I guess LeJon was ripping on the crowd. And Pizzle said, I would never go to see them until he apologizes to his fans.
Yeah, he was mad. And he said, ever since then, that was the day that he boycotted Seven Dust Forever. Yep. And it was no longer LeJon. He became LeVon.
Mike Presley, I'm not apologizing. And fuck you too, man.
Figgy, sure has.
I told you an hour and 12 minutes would fly by. We definitely have to have you back because something tells me you're going to see more Metallica shows this year. I might see you in Pittsburgh. Jeff might come to Pittsburgh to see Greta Van Fleet and leave before Metallica even starts.
Larry! We got to get the Lord, two-thirds of the Lords of Merchandise.
That's right. Well, I think Brian will be there. I think all of us will be there.
Oh, the whole gang.
Mr. Silver will be there. I'm pretty sure I'll be there. I know Larry's going to be there because...
Yeah, we're planning to try to go to Pittsburgh with Metal Joe and all those guys to fly
out. It sounds like a reunion of a bunch of good people. I think I might have to fly out to that one myself.
Jeff,
yeah,
it's time, dude.
I'd love to introduce them to Metal Joe.
Yeah, I'd love to introduce you guys to Metal Joe if you want.
It is time. Figgy, if you end up going, please drop a message. We'll make sure to meet up and you can meet
Larry.
This is a heck of an episode, Jeff. 15 years old and he knows more about Metallica than you. He has more rockstar meet and greets than you've had in your 55 years on this earth.
55. Wow, you're aging me now, buddy.
I'm giving you credit.
It's okay.
This kid's incredible. We got to have him back.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Thanks for coming on. I know it's kind of late. And
thanks for writing in, dude. Thanks for coming on and crushing it. What's your dad's name, Figgy?
Peter.
Peter, thank you for joining the show, and hopefully we can meet in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love to.
We might have to have your dad on for an episode.
Oh, yeah. He can talk about all the old days.
Yeah, I want to hear about Cliff at the Meadowlands. And
the cars that were on fire in the Meadowlands parking lot when we walked outside, and riots everywhere.
Yeah, see.
Ozzy was so pissed off that everybody wanted Metallica back. He fucking threw a fit.
These are the stories that we need to hear.
And
so
I want
to
hear about the midnight release of Kill 'Em All with all, 14 people in line for it?
Yeah, dude. I was 12 at that time? My mother let me go, man. We sat in line all fucking night, man.
That's impressive. Oh,
We're gonna have you on, and we need to hear these stories in depth.
Not many people you know can say I was at the Kill 'Em All release party.
Exactly, I know, that's crazy.
Metallica
changed my life as a kid, man. At 11 years old, it was weird music in the 80s. You know that, man. And then all of a sudden, I hear this heavy shit. I'm like, yes, I'm home.
You're
like,
you're totally home.
Yo.
Home sweet home. Big Mac 305.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Jeff, I will see you next week. Figgy, hopefully to see you in Pittsburgh. And once again, buddy, nicely done. And thanks again for coming on.
Nice meeting you, bud.
Yeah, Metallica forever.
Always and forever. Thanks, Figgy.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Here in the evening, as you lie awake in bed, the echoes of the amplifiers ringing in your head. Smoke a big fat ass joint. And what she said, yeah. She said, what the fuck she said. She said,